All right. Amen. We'll have all the children. If you're 12 and under. If you're 12 and under. All right, here's what we're going to do. These are precious, precious children. So we're going to pray for them. Is that okay? I'm going to embarrass you guys. Everybody cool? Sorry if I embarrass you. You'll be all right. Just hang in there. All right, so we're going to close our eyes, and I want you guys to reach your hand out, if you will. You don't have to feel too weird about it. But just reach your hand out toward these children, and I'm going to pray for them, and I want you guys to pray with me. Amen? So let's pray. Father, we just pray in the name of Jesus, Lord. I just ask you to place a protecting angels around each one of our children. Lord, the ones that are here and the ones that are not here today, Lord, you know where they're at. Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus over their life. Put that hedge of protection over them. We bless them. We thank you for our children. And Lord, we put them in your hands and ask you to keep them safe. And we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody said amen? Amen. So I'd like to welcome everybody. Excited about the fall weather? Everybody excited? Fall weather, it seems to be sneaking back up on us now again. So that's exciting. Very much so. So we're going to be in Ephesians this morning. If you have your Bibles. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. So let's all stand for the reading of God's Word, if you could. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. All right. It says, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Everybody said amen? Amen. You may be seated. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word. We ask you to bless it. Lord, I need your help this morning, some, maybe even more than most times. And, Lord, we do lift up our church family, lift up our children. We love you and we thank you for this time. Pray for our military and our missionaries. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. Now, I like this translation, okay? I like the New Living Translation. Is anybody familiar with that? I bought a Chuck Swindoll Bible several months ago, and he has a New Living Translation. Listen to the New Living Translation. It says, the same scripture. It says, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. That's so sweet. I was sharing that with Lynn this week, and she said, that is so sweet. That's just a sweet verse, you know, that God loves us. Now, last week, we talked about having an intimate relationship with God. And that word intimate means personal. It means really getting to know someone. And if you didn't listen to the sermon, if you missed it, I encourage you to go on the website and listen so that we can all stay on track of where God's taking us. Now, Glenn mentioned something to me last week, and so I'm going to enter it into the message here today. He was talking about intimacy, and he said he heard a cool way to think about that is, intimacy is into me, you see. Like intimacy into me, you see. And I thought that was profound. That's profound, right? That's going to change your life. Amen. So intimacy, definitely. So God is into me, and hopefully I'm into him, you know. I've had a chance to marry. I've been a pastor now about 4 years, and I've had a chance to marry two people. Maybe another one come along. I'm not sure. But two people, two couples. And I always talk to them about four types of relationships that they will be entering into when they get married. There's a physical, emotional, spiritual, and legal. Okay, those are four areas that I try to focus in when I do, you know, marriage counseling. Now, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then according to the Bible, you have entered into a legal relationship with God. It's a covenant agreement with God. You know, the old covenant, new covenant. Covenant means agreement. It means contract. In other words, the old covenant, the old agreement, God had an agreement, a contract with mankind. And that was sealed in blood, blood of the animals and all the little doodle bugs that they sacrificed back in the day. So the new covenant is God's new agreement, his new contract with mankind. And that is sealed in blood, but we know that is sealed in the blood of Christ that flowed down that old rugged cross. So this is a contract, an agreement with mankind. So if you are now, if you're born again Christian, you are now formally become a child of God and you have eternal life. Now, for the rest of your life, while you're here on earth, as you grow closer to God, as you grow in this intimate relationship with God, it's going to be a struggle. It'll be a struggle. Now, we all know that when you get to heaven, that relationship's going to be perfect. But until then, it's going to be a little struggle. And please understand, God wants that intimate relationship with you. He really does. But, everybody say but. But in this crazy world that we're in, that we're still living in, it's going to be a challenge to build and stay focused in that intimate relationship. Especially when we have to worry about the world, we have to worry about our flesh, and we have to worry about the devil and old Slewfoot, right? We know that we're going to have special needs. We're going to have special opportunities. I call them spiritual opportunities for growth. You know, definitely. So this morning I want to show you three things, three areas of growth that will happen whenever you start building this intimate relationship with God. These three things, these three circumstances will bring you closer to God. Now it's up to us, isn't it? It's up to us, these circumstances and situations that come, it's up to us on how we deal with it, how we, you know, react or respond. Now, you might not get too excited about these three, but they will bring you closer to God with a right attitude. Amen? So here we go. The first area that will produce growth with your intimacy with our Heavenly Father is crisis. Crisis. Crisis means this. When you're in a situation that you can't fix, and you have to be totally dependent on Him for deliverance. How many's ever been there? If you live past 12, you probably have, right? You know? Paul happened to him several times in the Bible. Many people in the Bible this has happened to. Paul and his followers even got to a point, they were so desperate in their situation, they were forced to depend on God. They couldn't fix it. They couldn't fix the situation they were in. But God showed up and delivered them out of their troubles. David said that, right, in Psalms. He said, this poor man cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all of his troubles. See, for us earthlings, following the Lord, there will always be, please listen, there will always be something that God has to bring us out of. I mean, you know what I mean by that? Things are going great. And all of a sudden, there's something else, and you got to come out of that one. And then all of a sudden, things are going good. Man, life is great. And then what happens? There's something else that you got to climb over that hill, climb over that mountain. If you're young and young married, get ready for it. I'm not being pessimistic or negative, really. It's just life. It happens, for sure. God's people were in a crisis. Israel, coming out of Egypt. You can hear them. You can read the scriptures. They were crying out saying, Lord, deliver us from this craziness. Let's read it. Exodus chapter 2, 23 through 25. Exodus chapter 2, they were saying, Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage. And they cried out. And their cry came to God because of the bondage. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant, right? His agreement, his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. See, really unknown to them, they're crying out to the Lord, right? But unknown to them, God is working on this guy named Moses, trying to prepare him to deliver them. And yes, God will sometimes allow us to get into desperate situations. Now, I just personally don't believe that God causes that to happen. That's a, you know, theological debate I don't want to go into. But I think just life happens, and God will allow situations and circumstances. Amen? Paul even had a thorn. We all know about that. Paul had a thorn. And God allowed this to happen in his life. And Paul got desperate. He begged God, please deliver me from this. And God said no. God said no to him. He said, I'm going to teach you about grace through the crisis I'm allowing in your life. See, God allows crises because he wants you to get to know him in a deeper level. We don't like it. We don't want it. I mean, real, can I be real? I don't want it. I don't like it. But that's the way it is. That's the way God set it up. He's sovereign. He understands the whole big picture. Let me give you a scenario where you will see God in the deepest way. It's when the situation creates a contradiction in your crisis. Example, children of Israel, in bondage, in Egypt. God rescues them, gets them out of the bondage. They're celebrating, yay, and they're marching, and everything's great, and all of a sudden what? Red Sea. Can't get across. This don't make sense. A few minutes ago, God was rescuing us. It was all great. And now, we're at the Red Sea, and we got these crazy cats coming behind us going to come kill us all. That don't make sense, right? That doesn't make sense. That's a catch-22. You find that in Second Opinions, chapter 3. But that's a catch-22. When God puts you in a catch-22, he is creating an opportunity for you to see him at a level you would never see him. He put the disciples in the middle of the storm, didn't he? To help them grow and get to know him. There's so many examples in the Bible. I don't have time to even go into all of them. If you're a student of the Bible, you know exactly what I mean. Time and time, example and example. These guys getting a catch-22. Women, men. Short little funny story. It's kind of embarrassing, but I'll tell you. I don't like hassle. I get laying laughing at me. It's one of my character defects. I'm sorry. I don't like to be hassled. I like things to work, go as planned. Please, anybody else like that? If I knew if he was going to raise him. You know, and Lynn and I were talking this week. I don't remember when it was. And I was trying to get honest with her about me having to take care of her. Not having to, but it's my honor to take care of her. But she still can't walk. So I'm like doing all this other stuff that I'm not normally used to doing. I know it sounds bad, but I'm just being real, okay? I don't mind it at all, right? Say, yeah, I don't mind. But it's a hassle for me, man. Can I be that honest? I've never had to take care of someone. So, you know, don't throw rocks at me, you know. But Lynn was talking to me. She says, you know, how are you doing? I said, I'm doing good. And finally I got honest and said, I said, God, it's just a hassle. And she knows I don't like hassle. And so we started laughing. Because she was realizing, I was realizing, and the bottom line is we were both realizing that, you know, God was working on me through her crisis, through her situation. God was working on her too. I mean, she, you know, can't walk, so that's a whole different issue. But for me, I'm talking about me right now. but it's all about me right now. It's a hassle. But God has been working on me and teaching me and humbling me and, I used to never say, "Oh, I'm humbled," because you're probably not. But it's God's teaching me, isn't He? And I'm learning. I'm learning through this. So that's my story. So if you're in a crisis, or if one day you're going to be in a crisis, I'm sure. If you're in a crisis, please understand that God is with you. God is with you. Everybody say, "God is with me." God is with you in this crisis. And He is giving you an opportunity to get to know Him and build a closer relationship with your Heavenly Father, whom you are legally attached and secure. Amen? Now, the second point, is the second area where you will be able to see God and get closer to God in your intimate relationship is this: power. So the first one was crisis. The second one is power. Sometimes we need Him to demonstrate that He has the abundant power to take care of us. Now, we all know God is omnipotent, which means all-powerful. Pete and Marianne saw and took pictures this weekend at the beach of God's creative powers, didn't you? Just as powerful, and He's creative, and He created everything. And we all know that He can and He did speak creation into existence. He created something out of nothing. No one else can do that. The smartest person on the planet can't create something out of nothing. But when you, on a personal level, when you need power, and when you need Him to come through for you in your unique situation, now it becomes a personal expression of power. Personal. Paul talks about that kind of power in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. And let me read it. He says, "To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Verse 20, "Now to Him who is able," I'm going to start over again, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Really look at that scripture. That power that's within us. It's God Almighty. It's the Holy Spirit that lives in us. That dunamis power, that power that's like a dynamo that's capable of reproducing itself with power. But in order, he says this, but in order to know this kind of power, we have to pursue intimacy. We have to pursue intimacy. Jesus even said this kind of power comes through prayer and fasting and really having an intimate relationship with God. Amen? Paul said, "Let Christ dwell in you." If you look up that word "dwell," it means to make Himself at home. Now, Most of us have welcome signs outside of our door. But a lot of times this is just a lie. We don't really mean welcome to our home. It really means welcome to this room that I take you to inside my home. Huh? I didn't invite you into every room of my home. But when the Bible says, let the life of Christ dwell in you richly, it means let him go wherever he wants. Amen? God wants us to let him see our mess so he can start helping us clean it up. When he is free, when Jesus is, when the Holy Spirit's free to roam around inside our house, you will see and you will experience his power to change us. You see, he will do for you what you can't do for yourself. Amen. The third and final area in which you will see him work in your life when you pursue this intimate relationship with him. Okay? The third one is wisdom. Wisdom. Life is like a 10,000 piece puzzle. It's just got too many pieces. It's just too much. When Lynn and I had the coronavirus and we were locked down for 2 or 3 weeks, Glenn and Melissa brought us a 2,000-piece puzzle. You ever put together a 2,000-piece puzzle? Bless their hearts. They loved us and went out and got us a 2,000-piece puzzle. We tried to put it together. But it was just overwhelming to us. And so we just quit. And again, we were tired. The coronavirus, some of you know, it had us tired. And we felt bad. We didn't want to admit it to you. I thought about lying to you about it. But, that never works out, right? Oh, yeah, it was great. That never works out. But what really happened is my precious mother came over, and she's like a puzzle master. It was actually, we took it to her house, and she put it together. She really did. She put that whole thing together. Bless her heart. And it is beautiful. It's a Thomas Kincaid picture of a country church by the seashore. You know, it kind of reminds me of Pauline a little bit, you know? So I thought we would, so she can glue it together and all that cool stuff and take it to Hobby Lobby and get a frame in it and, I don't know, put it up at the house somewhere, or maybe in church or something. I don't know. It's really pretty. Bear with me. I love my little segue here. But our life puzzle, right? Our life puzzle is like a winding road. And you don't know where the dangerous curves are. You don't know where the next detour signs are. That's just life. And life can be confusing. And we have to make choices after choices after choices. And we can only get so much information in this process of making choices in our life. And guess what? We're not like God. We're not all-knowing. And we need governance. We need guidance. We need God to help us with these decisions in life. We need him to give us wisdom. And as we get closer to him and we develop this intimate relationship with him, he begins to deposit wisdom more than what we can get in just normal living, normal being a Christian. Hey, God said if we look to him, he will provide the wisdom and guidance that we need. James chapter 1 verse 5. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and he will be giving it to us freely. You see, guys, wisdom is the ability. Everybody with me? Wisdom is the ability to apply biblical truth to your life's decisions. It's not outer space, mystical, crazy stuff. It's relevant data from God's holy word to meet your reality. And he does this through sermons, through godly people, through songs, through books, through prayer, through Bible study. He wants to give us wisdom so that we're not out there operating independently of him. Now look, I have a watch. It's 11:50. Hang on, I got 9 more minutes. I have a watch. I just look at the face because I just want to know the time. If I took it apart, it's got all these little tiny pieces. I could never understand it. I sure couldn't put it back together. I don't really know how it works. I have to trust the watchmaker. God not only knows the face of your life, he also knows every little tiny detail of your life. Amen. He knows all the parts of your life and they know how it works. He knows all the little tiny parts and how they tick and tick every day, every second of our life. You see, you may only see a few pieces of the puzzle, but God sees the complete picture on the box. He knows what it looks like. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. We all have choices to make in life. Isn't it better to make them with God, who is all-knowing? That sounds a lot better to me than us making tough decisions on our own, just trying to do the best we can with the limited knowledge that we have. I read a story about a man who rescued a pit bull. And we'll close. Everybody know about pit bulls? They got a big old head, you know. He rescued this pit bull, took him in the backyard, put a stake in the middle of the yard, put him on a rope until the man could have time to go find his owner. Well, the pit bull started running around the rope, tying himself up. The man, got a pit bull, tried to get him around back around the rope. As soon as he turned him loose, he goes again, running around, tying himself up with a rope. Now, you know, this pit bull, he had a big head, but he wasn't thinking right. He had a big head, but he wasn't thinking right. Sometimes that's the way we are in life. We got a big head, don't we? Think I can work this out. I can deal with this. I can fix this issue. If I think about it enough, try to figure it out. We get the big head. And we try to use our own understanding. In Proverbs chapter 3, we all know the verse. Chapter 3, verse 5 through 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not with your own big head to your own understanding, and with all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." Here it is, guys. Your Heavenly Father, who wants to get to know you in a very personal way, will use a crisis in our life to deliver us, to show us that he loves us, that he would never leave us and never forsake us, that he is on our side. He will use your inability to express his power to show us that he loves us, that he's got our back. It's greater than he is in us than he is in the world. We can trust him. He'll use your decisions to show you guidance, to again prove that he loves us. And he will guide us. He will direct us. He does all this so you'll get to know him. You'll be able to see Him. You'll be able to experience Him on a deeper, much deeper level. Do you know Him today? Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. As always, Lord, I thank You so much that Your Word encourages us, strengthens us, gives us direction. It corrects us. It shows us what we should be doing to have a successful marriage and successful business, to be a good man, a good woman, a good parent, a good grandparent. Lord, it's the answer to life. And we trust You. Lord, we thank You, Lord, for this morning. Father, if there's one here that has never accepted Christ as their personal Savior, I ask, Lord, during the song of invitation, they would come down. I'd be glad to pray with them. Father, there may be someone here today that You're dealing with their heart in regards to joining our church and being a part of our family. Today would be a great day. Lord, we love You. We thank You. We give You all this in Jesus' name. Amen.